is pleasing to his ear. A sound of praises lifted unto the atmosphere. Every time you lift your voice, you need to know Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise.
There is a sweet sound, a sound of praise, lifting
into the atmosphere.
And every time you need that Jesus love.
worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Sing, I love you, Jesus. And I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love Jesus, and I worship.
Lord, I just want to tell you, and I love you, and I love you more than anything. Hey, I love you, Lord, I worship and
lift up your hands right now and tell him how you feel about him. I love you, Jesus. There's no sweeter name that I know. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's no kingdom, God. There's no throne, no principality. There's none righteous or good or holy or right or just but you, God. There's no restoration for us like you, God. There's no healing balm like you, God. There's no sweet salve. There's nobody else that bottles my tears. There's nobody else that catches me when I fall. There's nobody else that holds me and sustains me and keeps me as the apple of his eye. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody good, God. There's none that hides me in the cleft of his rock or covers me in the fold of his wing. You can search the world over, but you'll find there's none that compares. There's nobody beside you, Jesus. There's nobody, God, that is your comparison. You stand alone, God. There's only one throne, and there's only one sitting on the throne. And we lift you up in this place, God. We esteem you, God. We adore you, God. We exalt you, God. We extol you, God. You are good, God. And you're merciful, God. And you're righteous, God. And you're a friend. You're a friend, Jesus. You're my grace, my mercy. You're my sustenance. You're my power. You're my strength. There's nobody like him. I appreciate God preparing the ground for this service. I appreciate God preparing the ground for this service. Before we leave tonight, somebody's going to have a date with destiny. You understand what I'm telling you tonight? Somebody's going to have a date with destiny. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. If you would, put your Bibles down, and I want you to earnestly talk to the Lord for just a moment. And I want you to tell him that you're available and that you want to hear from him tonight and that you're going to respond when you hear tonight. I want you to talk to him right now, and I want you to open up your heart to him and tell God to purge you of everything that's not like him. Come on, somebody, pray right now. Tell God to purge you, wash you, cleanse you, prepare your heart for the going forth of the word. That if God wants to give you a rhema word tonight, that you're going to respond to it. That you're not going to bottle your fury up and bottle your pain up and bottle your insecurity and your fear up. But that you're going to let everything out tonight. Come on, somebody talk to him right now. Tell God, "I'm just going to open my heart and my spirit. God, I'm going to respond when your word speaks." Ah, sobo kosinda, yebra kaya nisa. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now that your anointing would sweep across this house, God. I am nothing without you, oh God. I am just a vessel, God. I pray that your word would go forth tonight, Jesus. I pray that there would be a healing in this house tonight, Jesus. Not by power, God, not by intellect or natural reasoning, but by the Spirit of God. Somebody go ahead and give him praise with your hands right now. Come on, lift up a high praise to God. Come on, God, speak to us tonight. Let your word go forth. God bless you. You can be seated. Everything about our life here is designed to maintain and preserve our existence in this world. The advancement of medicine throughout history has revolved around creating and producing new antibiotics, vaccinations, and surgical procedures that not only prolong life, but give the appearance of being younger and more virulent and healthy. Political policies are constantly evolving to enforce things that sustain life, like forcing people to wear seatbelts, not allowing smoking in public places, searching for world peace to stop warfare, feeding the starving masses in far-flung places, and instigating humanitarian causes that attempt to make the world a more survivable place than it has been in times past. The educational system is in place to attempt to advance opportunities for a better life to those who had no previous exposure. There are promises of bigger houses and more amenities that make life more livable, better health care coverage, more money, larger retirement plans, more guarantees. Social equality has been the mantra of the last 100 years in this country. More opportunities for the underprivileged, those who haven't had the exposure to the people, the principles, positions that give an equal edge to everyone for the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All current human activity can be summed up by either the desire to preserve our own lives or the desire to project our progeny into the future, thus sustaining our name to another generation. But what really is our purpose here? If my only design in this life is just to sustain life here, then I feel like Paul when he said, if I had hope in this world alone, I would be among all men most miserable. Can anybody say amen to that? You have a mainstream denominational church that will preach to you a good old feel-good message with blessings and healings and financial miracles every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I've heard so many sermons that would revolve around the fact that God doesn't want you to be sick, that he wants you to be blessed and have lots of money and have increase. But that's why for so many, after the shine has faded and the new is getting old and hope and finite things has begun to lose its luster, that they are left with the assault of assailing fears that there really isn't anything left to live for. Jesus said in Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All of the physical activity, the miracles, the healings, the wonders are shown by Jesus. They're setting up the gospel message that was to come. Notice the word gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news that the curse of sin and death had become placed under our feet. I don't have to live broken anymore. I don't have to be deficient, maimed, fractured, handicapped spiritually. I don't have to live with a broken heart. I don't have to be bound by addictions, ensnared by the chains of sin and degradation. I don't have to be blind spiritually. I don't have to be halt spiritually. I don't have to be lame spiritually. The season of mercy has come. God is here to bring deliverance. I don't have to stay the way that I am. Is anybody thankful that the acceptable year of the Lord has come? That no longer am I destined to be destitute? Am I destined to be broken? Am I destined to be maimed spiritually? But I've got a promise from God. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, there's a spirit of restoration in this place. There's a spirit from God. God wants to descend on this place. He wants to break the chains of dead ideological pursuit, and he wants to come in and heal your heart and heal your marriage and restore your dreams and restore your hopes. God is saying tonight, I can heal what is broken in you spiritually. I can mend what has been permanently damaged and ravaged by sin. The Word of God promises that no matter what your spiritual condition, God is able and willing to restore you completely. It is not the will of God that you be sick spiritually. It is not the will of God that you be blind spiritually. It is not the will of God that you be halt spiritually. It is not the will of God that you be flat of your back spiritually. And this message has been prostituted in this country. A lot of apostolic pulpits aren't preaching it like that anymore because they're telling people what they want to hear. They're telling them it's not the will of God that you not have money in your pocket. And it's not the will of God that you not be healed of cancer and disease and all of those things. And I believe that God can do those things. But let me tell you what the absolute biblical truth is. It's not the will of God that you be dead spiritually. It's not the will of God that you be blind spiritually. It's not the will of God that you spend your entire life limping around trying to figure out who you are. It's the will of God that you rise up and be a man and a woman and a child of God in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give him praise. The gospel message has been prostituted to the degree that all people can see as the natural carnal signs that are supposed to set up the higher reality. Jesus didn't come to make everything feel better for me. He came to heal the spiritual condition of our world. So it becomes a message that is an extension of all of our attempts to preserve life here. So the church just further facilitates our preservation of life, our happiness, our comfort. But what exactly is the gospel? Why did he come? What was his purpose? Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions, for he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now let me break down that verse to you. Wounded physically for our transgressions, spiritual. Bruised physically for our iniquities, spiritual. Chastisement physical for our peace, spiritual. And stripes physical. Let me change what you've heard 1,000 times over. Stripes physical for our healing, spiritual. You want to know why I'm preaching this? Because there are too many sermons that tell people you're going to walk out of the church and everybody's going to be healed physically and everybody's going to be well physically. And there's not enough emphasis at all on the fact that people are still sitting on the pew and their hopes and their dreams have been bashed and their heart's been broken and there's been no restoration, and the promise, the reality of the gospel hasn't come into their life in a way to where they can realize, if I can actualize, if I can get a hold of something in God, I can walk out of here and have my dreams restored. I can have my broken heart mended. I can have the reality that God has for me brought back to life. I don't have to live dead. I don't have to live limping. I don't have to live maimed. Oh, God, help me. Wounded physically for transgression spiritually. Bruised physically for our iniquities spiritually. Chastisement physically for our peace spiritually. And stripes physically for our spiritual healing. There's no guarantee about physical healing at all. God didn't come to win back our physical healing, to maintain our existence here without pain and suffering. I'm not trying to diminish your faith, but I'm trying to get you to understand a higher spiritual understanding. As a matter of fact, Genesis 3 and 9 tells us from the very beginning, from dust we came and back to dust we shall return. And Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, but if he end the judgment. But 1 Corinthians 15 shows us that it's not until this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality that the saying will be fulfilled. O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? You've got to understand something. It's not until I take this body and cross over that I will ultimately be able to speak that scripture in its fullest, that death is swallowed up in the grave and that it's been overcome. As long as I'm existing on this earth, as long as I'm sitting or standing in flesh, I'm going to have pain, I'm going to have difficulty, I'm going to have adversity, but there is a promise. I wish somebody would get what I'm telling you right now. There is a promise. There is a promise. The gospel does bring you good news. The good news is you might be sick in your body, but you can rise up in your spirit. You might be limping in your body, but that gets me excited. That gets me jazzed. Because it doesn't matter what's happening in my body, in my spirit, I can be walking in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's coming a day when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the tabernacle of God is going to be with men, and he's going to dwell with us and be our God. And the Bible says he's going to wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there's going to be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Look at James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What is he talking about? I don't mean to walk all over all your theology. I'm just trying to get you to lift up your eyes above this natural world. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Healed of what? Faults. Internal. Spiritual. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You've heard that one. Elias with a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinners from his error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. What is this entire passage of scripture about? It's about spiritual. And I have heard so many catchphrase sermons, candy stick sermons. God's going to bless you in the field. He's going to bless you in the city. He's going to bless you when you're going out and coming in and all of that stuff. And God is a God of blessing. But all of these natural examples are symbolic to us of spiritual truths. And it breaks my heart when I come into the church and I watch people who limp around spiritually, just clinging to hope and clinging to the next opportunity for a blessing. And like that lame man, come to the gate of the beautiful gate of the temple and stick out a cup and say, alms, alms, alms. I just need a little more in my cup. How many people come to the house of God and all they're looking for is a little more in their cup? Just something to sustain me in my crippled condition for another day. Just enough to sustain me in my broken situation and my spiritually destitute status and situation. Just another cup full of alms. I don't want much. I didn't come expecting much, preacher. I just wanted you to scratch me behind the ears. I just wanted to come up to the altar to get a blessing from God. I just wanted another prayer. prayer, just a little bit more to sustain me till the next day, to sustain me till I get my next check. Come on, can you help me? Come on, can you give me hope? But I'm here to tell you, your hope's not wrapped up in that. Your hope's not wrapped up in that. There's a higher understanding. There's a higher revelation. You can live in victory. You can... There's no guarantee for physical healing, for natural blessing and increase. God does those things. And God is good to us. And God is faithful to us. The promises that God has guaranteed to the church are those spiritual in nature. As the church focuses upon the physical arena and increase there, what goes unnoticed are the scores of people who are carried daily to the gate of the temple. Those who are spiritually handicapped. All of Jesus' physical miracles were pointed ahead to the post-Calvary power of the church. If you're blind, deaf, dumb, dead, maimed, halt, or lame spiritually, there is a guarantee that you do not have to remain the way that you came. While the Christian world is preaching fluff, the real power of Jesus' sacrifice goes unfulfilled. I have come that you might have life. And that... or abundantly. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but rejoice, I have overcome the world. All of the visible is given to make known the invisible world. The natural manifestations are to make evident those things that we cannot see. The natural healing is supposed to show us the spiritual healing. The natural miracles are supposed to show the spiritual miracles. Natural power to spiritual power. Natural increase to spiritual increase. Natural blessings to spiritual blessings. Because after the external thing is done, the internal is still handicapped. After the secondary thing is accomplished, the primary is still afflicted. And after the broken bone heals in time, it develops osteoporosis and becomes brittle and begins to degenerate back to the dust from which it came. But the internally broken things remain in their fragile condition, maimed, halt, with blind, lame, deaf, dumb. And if Lindsay... Latifany, if somebody can come back to our text. There was a certain man carried daily to the beautiful gate of the temple. Carried because he didn't have the strength, the ability to walk on his own. You've been carried to the beautiful gate all of your life. Everywhere that you've been, someone has had to carry you. All of your experiences around the house of God have revolved around someone else's experience, conviction, and strength. This allows you to not ever have to make a decision for yourself. Never have to stand upon the strength of your own conviction, of your own sacrifice. Being spiritually lame alleviates one from having to take personal responsibility for what happens in their life, because at the end of the day, I'm here of no fault of my own. He was that way from birth, you see. He couldn't help the way that he was. It was his lot in life, the hand that had been dealt him. No one blamed him for the shape that he was in. At the gate of the temple, half in and half out, close enough to be associated with the house of God, but far enough away not to have to take any real responsibility. He didn't come that day as... whoever I'm talking to tonight, he didn't come looking for real change. He came looking for pocket change. He had no intention of having a moment with God. So he cried, "Alms! for the poor. I'm not looking for much. It's not my fault. I just need you to subsidize me, to help me in my broken condition. Alms! Alms! Alms for the poor. I don't need a whole lot. I just need enough to get me through another day. Lame, halt, withered, broken, wounded, scarred. And you almost can't say anything. You almost can't speak. It's almost untouchable. Because it's justified. There are legitimate reasons. But I'm here to tell you, sir, it's not the will of God that you remain halt, lame, withered, broken. Alms. Alms. Alms for the poor. The problem with being in this condition is that the disciples didn't have what it took to sustain him in his broken condition. What you came looking for at some point is going to run out. We don't have what you need. We don't have the answer on that level that you're looking for. I can't continue to sustain you in your broken condition. Our eyes are on him. The only thing I have to give you tonight is the gospel. The only thing I can guarantee you tonight is you don't have to stay the way that you are. I know, sir, ma'am, the reasons are justified. If you go through and study these words, lame, halt, maim, you can just let your imagination go. Some of it life did, and some of it, like Mephibosheth, somebody else did. And some of it happened by no fault of their own, and some were born that way. We're all afflicted to some degree. But it's the will of God that you walk in power. It's the will of God that you have a vibrant ministry. It's the will of God that you walk on mountaintops with God. It's the will of God that you walk straight up. It's the will of God that you don't stay at the gate vacillating between in and out, but that you come in and you realize everything that God has for you. All of the peace, all of the promise, all of the purpose. As long as he stood at the gate and begged, the worst part of it was that his incessant begging, downcast eyes, crippled condition, was a negative testimony against the house of God. Alms, alms, alms for the poor. And it told everybody passing, there's no power in the house. But I've come to tell you, there's an answer in the house. There's power in the house of God. It's not the will of God that you stay. in your condition. So Peter said, silver and gold have I none. What it takes to sustain you crippled, I can't help you. Maybe down at the civic club or some other place they have what you're looking. I don't have it. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, watch this. You know what happened after Peter said that? Nothing. Get up! And this is where I'm going to close this thought. Rise up, walk. And what happened? Nothing. I've got the answer. Rise up, get up, come on, get up, get up. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay maimed. You don't have to stay lame. Get up. And nothing happened. So the Bible says that Peter took him by the hand. Come on. You don't have to stay that way. And immediately, his ankle bones receive strength. Let me tell you something. If you want to get up, you can get up. If you don't want to be broken spiritually, if you don't want to be lame spiritually, Brother Keith, you can get up. Or you can stay sitting where you are and constantly live under the stigma of a handicapped and crippled spiritual condition. Because God's not going to make you get up. He won't force you. Let me tell you, the most powerful force in all of this your willingness to get up, to stretch forth your hand, and to take an olive branch that God is extending to you tonight. The most powerful, because God can have all the power in the world, and you sit in your handicapped situation and you make all the excuses, and 5 years from now you come knocking on the office door of the pastor or some other ministry in this church and you say, it's the same way it's been for the last 10 years. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to stay the way that you are. You don't have to be handicapped. You don't have to be crippled. You don't have to be bound. You don't. You can get up right now in this house. You can rise up. Come on. I'm offering you an olive branch. I'm offering you help. I'm offering you a promise. Because you are so afraid of messing up. So afraid of getting back in that same condition and saying, see, this is the way it's always been, and this is the way my daddy was, and this is the way my mama was, and I was born this way. He was laid daily at the gate by somebody else who had strength, somebody else who had power, somebody else who had the ability to walk on their own. At some point, you have to get mad about this. At some point, you have to make a determination. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I'm not living this way. I'm not staying this way. I'm not living angry and bound and broken. Thank you. if I perish, at least I perish while daring something greatly, so that my lot is never with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. If I die while trying my best to walk and to stand and to be strong and to be vibrant and to be productive, then I want to die going out with an attitude. I want to die walking in power. I want to die on the mountaintop with God, face to face with my Savior, face to face with my Redeemer, walking in the anointing. Not perfect, but positioned by God. Somebody, you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. Get up right now. Get up right now. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. If you're well right now, if you're walking in strength, find somebody to pray with. Come on, wrap somebody up right now. Pull them close, draw them close, pray down the power and the anointing of God. Come on, I'm talking about being spiritually lame. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live maimed and broken. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Intercessor in the house right now. I need somebody to cry out. I need somebody to petition God right now. Come on, let intercession break out. God wants to heal right now. God wants to restore somebody's condition right now. God wants to break the chains that have been holding you down. You're not praying. I want to have some ladies go and gather with Sister Sharon right now. Let's pray a prayer of anointing on her life. Come on. Sister Sharon sitting right over here on the left. Pray a healing. Pray that God would touch her and virtue would flow in her life. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh,
having dominion in the spirit world begins with dominion within myself. You can ask the question, will I be made whole? Or you can make the statement, I will be made whole. Is anybody determined tonight to not be lame and halt and withered, broken, but to walk in the power of God, to first take dominion of self, and then as an extension of that, to have dominion in the spirit world. God gave me this word in a matter of 2 minutes. And I always wrestle with these kinds of things because I want to preach something fun. But I really feel like God wants to heal some people. And I really believe that there are some people in need of restoration. And so I just told you what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you. And I love this church. I'm so thankful to be connected with it. I believe in everything that has been spoken concerning this church, that its best days are ahead of us, that we're going to see great revival. I believe God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh in this city. I believe that God is going to use your life to reach somebody, that God is going to anoint your hands. Blinded eyes are going to be open. I believe that all of the miracles of the Word of God are going to be manifest and follow them that believe. Why don't you just love somebody for just a moment? Why don't you find somebody just to hug up, pull them close? Can we sing, I Need You, You Need Me?